everyone. Welcome, welcome. Today being September 14th, 2011. This is Kurt Mortensen. This is the weekly influence call where we'll teach you a few tools today. We'll take your questions. Maybe we'll even sing, we'll sing a few songs. Well, we probably won't do that, but we will just keep you on track. So before we get started, any questions or comments out there? 14. All right, we'll take that as a no. So as we talk about a few things, you have questions, break in, that is fine with me. Give you a few tools. We'll talk about application and things that you're running into. Let's talk about the human brain. Let's talk about perception. Let's talk about pricing. Let's talk about Disneyland. They are very good at persuasion and influence and marketing and adjusting your perceptions. I don't know if you've been to amusement park before, been to Disneyland before. They have their major attractions, their big rides, and you see a line, and you get in the line because it's going to be fun, and then you go through a couple of your little rats in a maze. You're going back and forth, back and forth. You're almost there, and you turn the corner, and you're not almost there. It's a whole other room. You go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You're almost there, and then you go into another room. Why do they do that? Any ideas? It's adjusting your perceptions, because if you saw how long the line was, you probably wouldn't get in it. Airlines do something very similar. If they know there's going to be a three-hour delay, they will not tell you that. They notice to keep the tension down, to keep the anger down, they'll say, oh, 15-minute delay, oh, give us another half hour, oh, give us another 30 minutes. We're getting close. Give us another 20 minutes. That is managing expectations. So there's a perception there that goes a long way as far as the way we manage expectations. So it could be anywhere from Costco. If you ever go to Costco or Sam's Club, the size of their cart, people shop more. They buy more. And we see this all the time. Now, it can be used in a very negative way, too. Real estate agents do this a lot of times where it's called the comparison effect, where let's say you want to spend, let's just make up a number, $200,000 on a home. So $200,000 on a home, and they're going to show you, they're going to take you to a property that's run down in a bad neighborhood, not what you want, terrible home for $200,000. You're like, no. Then they'll take you to the home that they really want you to buy for $200,000, and it looks better. Because you're comparing it to the old one. They call them setup properties. Even when dating, if you put someone next to a very, very attractive model, they're not going to be rated as attractive. So there's some things that we can learn from this as far as pricing. Even we know the bearer of bad news is somebody that they shoot the messenger. So how do you deliver negative information and how you deliver positive information are two very separate things, how they people compare those. And that's what I want to talk about. This is also used for pricing. This is used for a variety of things. So let's talk about this comparison effect. Let's give you some again, how the brain works. So now we've talked about this with your product or service, that when people are getting something, additional bonuses, you want to separate those. So if they're going to get four extra things with their order, you don't want to put them all together because that decreases the value. Winning $25 three times brings more joy than winning $75 once. Getting four bonuses, each worth $30, gives more of a perceived value than putting it all together. So even, for example, not shipping everything in one box. Now, we have to weigh the cost-benefit here. If somebody orders something and they get four boxes, that has a higher perceived value than putting it all in one box. Now, you have to weigh, is it worth paying the shipping on four boxes? Maybe it is to you. You look at, for example, when you buy software. Software fits on a CD, but if you look at the software boxes, how big are those boxes that you buy software in? Have you seen those compared to the CD? They're big because there's a perception of value. And that's why they have to do it. Because if they just say, oh, here's the CD, they could just give you a a blank CD with no printing on it, and it would still have the same software, but the perception of value would dramatically decrease. And so they put it in a big box, lots of styrofoam, they throw in some more paper there. They don't need to, but to reduce buyer's remorse, they have to do that. So giving a free gift instead of putting it with the order is part of this process too. So the big message here, when you're putting together your final offer, make sure everything is separate. That's important. Now, it's also a perception too. If you're going to buy milk, when you go to a convenience store like a 7-Eleven, you're willing to pay a lot more than when you go to the grocery store because there's a different perception there. You're going to pay more for coffee at a Starbucks than you will at a normal place where you buy coffee. And when you walk in there, if you notice, Starbucks has changed people's perception. They treat it like a winery. There's regions, there's different countries. They've changed the name of things. They had to do that because the perception of coffee was it's coffee, it's a buck, it's coffee. But they had to change that perception, otherwise people would not pay that. That's just kidding. This is how the brain works. Okay, because the way we're programmed is that we remember our bad moods longer than our good moods. We find if we're excited to do something that's pleasurable, we find less pleasure than we find more pain than things that are painful. If that makes sense. We just kind of have different perception of things. So let me give you some examples of this to help us understand. Supermarkets don't just give you discounts on groceries. They'll print right on your receipt how much money you saved because that has a different response. If it was just part of the pricing, you wouldn't be as loyal to that grocery store or feel like you've saved a lot of money. When you buy a car, a lot of times they want to mail you the rebate because when they separate it, there's a higher pleasure, there's a higher perceived value. So if you can keep it separate. Now, it's much easier to say, oh, $1,000 rebate, we'll take it off right now. It's easier to do that, and you can do that, but as far as adjusting pricing, keeping people excited, keeping people loyal, reducing buyer's remorse, it is better to separate it. Now, on the flip side, we have to look at pricing using when you use the small losses. An automatic payroll deduction has a lot less emotional pain, emotional toll, than have somebody paying it once a year or even paying it cash. So they say, oh, we'll just deduct $20 out of your paycheck every week. That's not that big of a deal. But if you ask them to give you a $20 bill every week or every 2 weeks, those are two completely different scenarios. A deduction, they don't see it. It's there. It was never really in their possession versus asking them to pay for a $20 bill. They do it. That's why when you look at life insurance, they want to deduct it. They want to deduct it because it's different than actually writing a check. When you're writing that check and sending it out, it has a different emotional toll than an automatic deduction, whether it be savings or charities or monthly installments. So if you have to do something like that, taking $9 a month is a lot easier for people to stick with you than to ask them to send you the money or even asking for cash. And we're talking about human percent. Logically, none of this makes sense. But remember, we're emotional creatures. We thrive on emotion. We have to adjust perceptions of time and the perceptions of money. If you ask somebody to work with you 2 hours a week, they'll probably say no. Say, well, can you at least give me 10 minutes a week? They're more likely to say yes than if you just ask them for the 10 minutes because you adjust the perception. So let me give you some scenarios, and let's see which one you would choose. Let's say the IRS, God forbid, sends you a letter saying you made a minor error on your tax return, and you owe $100. Then the next day you receive another letter from the IRS saying you made, they found another error, and you owe them $50. Versus that you receive one letter saying that you made a minor error and you owe $150. Now, when it's negative news like that, receiving two letters has a larger emotional toll than the one letter because it's two negative things back to back. There's another scenario. You're expecting a Christmas bonus of $300, and when you get a check for $300, and a week later, the company gives you a note that says, oh, we made a mistake. Your check was $50 too high. You owe us $50. Versus you're expecting a $300 check, and you only get a check for $250. Obviously, once it's in your possession, and they asked for $50 back, you'd be a lot more negativity, a lot more anger than in, if you just gave them the $250 right away. So how about this scenario? Gas is $4 a gallon, but you get a 10-cent discount if you pay cash. Or gas that's $3.90 a gallon, but there's a 10-cent surcharge if you use a credit card. Now, this is actual history. It did not work for them when there was a surcharge for a credit card. People wouldn't use their credit card, and they wanted them to use their credit card, but they wouldn't use their credit card because why would you? It's a 10-cent surcharge. But now you just raise it 10 cents and say there's a 10-cent discount if you pay cash, so more people use their credit cards because that's the price. And if you pay cash, you get a 10-cent discount. So they had to change it around to adjust the perception. So what does this mean? How can we apply this? So if it's something negative, you want to do it a little bit over time. Unless it's a lot of bad news, you don't want to do three different letters like we talked about. But the big one is the perception of pricing. And perception is so important. It could be something as simple as if you ever bought chocolate by the pound and they scoop it up and they put a little too much and they start taking it away. If they put too much in the scale and they start taking it away, people feel very negative, feel like they've, wait a minute, you're taking it away. So what they train them to do is put like half a pound on, put another scoop on, put another scoop on. Even though it's the same pound of chocolate, there's two different reactions there. So the way you wrap things, how you package things, how you put things out there makes a big, big difference. The main thing is when you have your final product or service, don't put everything together. It could be even in real estate. In any negotiation, so, well, it's everything for $200,000. No, the home's $200,000. Oh, the cabinets in the garage, they're worth $2,000, but we'll include those. Oh, you want the play set? Well, that's $500, and we'll include that. Oh, you want us to paint the repaint? Well, you might have been doing it anyway, but you'd say, well, that's another $2,000. So you get the house, and we have an extra $10,000 we're including. That changes the complete perception versus you get it all for $200,000. So it's your job to manage expectations. It's your job to build the value of what you're working on. It's your job to be able to do that. And when you can do that, that handles the emotional side of persuasion because you can be logical all day long. When I train on negotiation, for example, a lot of people say, well, can't we just go to a negotiation with our price? This is what we're offering. And I say, no, you can't because the expectation is, they want to negotiate. They're ready to. They're going to start as high or as low as they can, and you need to do the same, even though logically it makes no sense they need to do that. In fact, one of the worst things you can do in a negotiation is, hey, I'll give you $200,000 for that home or whatever it is, or they make you an offer. Say, I'll do it for $10,000. And you say, okay. That is one of the worst things you can do in negotiation because they expect to negotiate. If you say yes too soon, they'll have remorse and they'll always think, oh, I could have done better. I should have done this. And so you might have to go back and forth a few times even though it's an acceptable offer for you. We're dealing with humans here, very emotional people, whether it be in a negotiation or the perception of pricing. You have to remember, and I always hit this point home, that up to 95% of all influence, remember, involves that subconscious trigger, that feeling. I like this person, I don't like this person, I trust this person, I don't trust this person. So understand that if you have things you're giving, add them as a bonus. We're finding with bonuses, for example, that people will purchase products just for the bonuses. And the big pitfall with a bonus is that people will go to their garage or find some bonuses that have no value and people don't care about. It has to really have something to do with your offer. Something that has high perceived value and a low cost to you, something that they really want. So a lot of times I consult people to take some of the coolest things they have, the thing that people want the most, and make it one of the bonuses and put a value on it and don't include it with everything. It is something completely, completely separate. Any questions on what we talked about?
I got a comment.
Yeah.
This is Bob Moran. I'm what you said about negotiating rings so true. I'm looking across the canal from my house at a house that I put a from my backyard. There's a canal in my backyard, and I went to buy a house about 20 years ago, and the lady had the full listed price was $86,000. And I walked in, I looked around, I said, okay, I'll pay it. And that was that. The agent was happy, I was happy, everybody was happy. About half an hour later, the agent calls me and says, well, I got good news and bad news. And I said, well, what is it? And she says, well, the good news is the lady was thrilled with your offer, but the bad news is she was so thrilled with it that she thinks she can get more money because you didn't negotiate with her. So she took the damn house off the market.
And that's why when you make those facial expressions or you pass out because you think it's too high, they train people to do that.
Well, I mean that was a real eye opener for me in terms of you know that's actually that is like a. I mean, I don't know, Newton's law or something. You know, it's the same thing. You offer, you don't negotiate with somebody on the price, and they think that they're not asking enough. And the next thing you know, you're going to be out to lunch somewhere. So, I thought that was a pretty interesting thing you brought up because I hadn't thought about that in years. Not that it means anything, but it was.
No, it's an important lesson in human nature. And now, on the opposite side of that, when we teach about the dirty deeds or the dark tricks people will play in negotiation. One they do specifically, well, not one of the ones they do a lot in real estate, they do it in other things too, is if someone's selling their home for $200,000, they'll actually have three or four people come and say, $200,000, I'll give you $100,000 for it. And the next person comes, they'll give you $120,000. I mean, completely lowballing the person, three or four people in a row, and guess what the homeowner's thinking?
Price too high.
It's too high. Oh, my gosh. Four people. Man, I'll never sell this thing. And then here comes the person who planned the whole thing. You know, I'll give you, I don't know, best I can do, you know, $175. I'll take it.
That's devious.
Because it is very devious. It's very dark. I don't encourage people to do it, but I do train on it so people aren't surprised when it happens.
Yeah.
We never endorse those techniques, and well, with anything with persuasion, you can use it for good or evil, I guess. But we teach the dirty deeds because when people aren't prepared for it, it can really throw them for a loop, and they, especially in a negotiation situation. And another thing they do was a comment.
Yeah, it was a good thing to keep in mind, though. I'll be on the lookout for that technique. You know.
That's one, and the marketing one too, and it's not as devious as that one. It's pretty standard. They did this. They do this with TVs. They do this with cars. They do it with any, especially high ticket items, because your perception. Say you're going to go. This is an actual study with pool tables. So you decide you want to spend $1,000 on a pool table. So you walk in and you say, oh, I'm looking at these and they're going to guess which one they're going to show you. They're going to show you $1,000 pool table.
No, they're going to show me a big ticket pool table. Probably.
They're going to show you a $10,000 pool table.
Yeah.
And statistically speaking, you will walk out with a $2,000 or $3,000 pool table.
Yeah.
Guarantee you, if you want the $1,000 TV, they're going to show you the bigger one. If you want $20,000 for a car, they're going to show you the $50,000 version because it adjusts your perception. Now, you're not going to buy the $50,000 one. But all of a sudden, you're adjusting your perception as far as what you need and what you want and what cars are really costing. And that happens all the time in marketing. They call it door in the face, where they give you something, show you something really expensive, and then say, well, then here's something else that you can do. And that's price. So that now, one thing you can implement, it's pricing on the on your website, for example. If always start as high as you can. If it's $1,000, cross it off, and then now it's $500. That adjusts the perception of pricing. You see it in supermarkets where they'll, 30% free. But even worse than that, if you go buy a dress and it's been reduced, they're going to leave all five price tags on there. Why do you think they leave all the price tags on there for that dress?
You see what a good deal you're getting.
Exactly. You're looking at it. This used to be $500, and now it's $2? Wow. No, it's probably too extreme, but you're like, wow, what a great deal, because they're just the perception of pricing. You see this in life insurance or car insurance, where they say, well, okay, let's look at this. You want it for a year? Oh, that'll probably be $2,000. Like, oh, wait a minute. Your kids are on the honor roll. You're a non-smoker. Oh, we got this special here. You know, I can get that for you for $800. You're like, whoa, it's $2,000. I'm getting it for $800. They've established the value. And that's what's very important also, as we talked about negotiation, is old school negotiation. They'll teach you, oh, never make the first offer. Never make the first offer. And that is completely wrong for two reasons. If no one's willing to make the first offer, their conflict and tension arises. Now, I'm assuming you've done your research and you know what things are worth. But we find the person that goes first establishes the starting point for the negotiation, and it almost always goes in their favor as far as what they get, because they not only opened the door to start first, but they dictated the starting point of the negotiation, which adjusted their perception, as we talked about, perception of pricing today. Any questions about anything that you're running into or things we talked about today?
I have another comment on today.
Okay.
On the software, it's kind of reversed. I bought some software online, it's been a few years ago, but it was really discounted, and it came in the mail. A disc in a piece of cardboard folded over and taped closed, and some foreign stamp on it, of course. Well, that's why I got so cheap, you know.
Now that's a different perception, because once they have your money,
right,
it's not as a big of an issue. For example,
right,
if you bought three movies at a store, you would want them separate. But if you've got three movies online and they all came on the same DVD, the money's already spent. It's not as a big of a deal versus if you're looking at them online or at the store before you actually bought it. As I guarantee you, when you're looking online, it didn't show the packaging.
Right.
That would have adjusted your perception.
I'd be more willing to order from them again, I think, because I could understand they were cutting their costs, you know.
Mm-hmm. And if it was something you'd manage that expectation and say, hey, one of the reasons we're so expensive was we're not going to spend all the money on the fancy packaging and doing the FedEx. We're going to give the savings to you. Then they've managed that expectations. It's not the surprise. And when you get it, there's no remorse. Good point. Any questions? Guys are easy. Now, one last comment, and then we'll take any more questions if we have those. If you're talking about online or marketing products, a lot of times people will buy the middle product. So if you want to increase the sales of your higher-end product, create an even higher-end product. That is the most expensive, the best of the best. So it'll make the one that you want to sell in the middle, which is now in the middle, you'll sell that one more. Now, even some people always buy the best. That's what they do. That's how they're programmed. You might want to create a higher ticket priced item or service that is way out there, but it'll help change the perception of the one that you really want to sell the most of. That's something that you can really easily implement. So if you're not selling a lot of the bigger item, create a bigger item, and that establishes the value and makes the other one not look as expensive as it really is. All right. Now, of course, recordings are posted on whypersuasion.com. And we also, of course, have a contact us form, other information on there if you need that. Are there any other questions before we let you go for the week? All right. Well, the question?
Not here.
All right. Well, everyone have an incredible week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.